Welcome to the Christ Life Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Olubi Johnson. For more information about this podcast and our other resources, please visit spcconline.org. God bless you.
Today we're going to continue our study, our teaching series of prophetic present truth teachings on keeping God's testimonies, and we're presently looking at the life of Abraham. In our last lesson, in our last teaching, we ended with God's covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, in verses 121, where Abraham was getting old. He'd been walking with God since 75. He was now in his 80s, and he said, "God, look, I'm not going to have a child. You know, I have to give my inheritance to this." He had a steward of his house who was a Syrian, you know, and he was very discouraged. So God took him out and showed him the stars, and he said, "So shall your seed be." And it is recorded in the scripture that Abraham believed. He accepted that what God said is true. And the Bible says it was reckoned to him for righteousness, which becomes, and we will see as we go on, the foundation of our faith as Christians. Because we believe in Jesus, it is accounted to us for righteousness, just like Abraham believed God's promise and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Paul goes to great lengths explaining this in Romans chapter 4, and as well as in the book of Galatians, but I'm not going to go into that today. And he took a step further. He now cut a blood covenant with Abraham. In the olden days, and they still do it in some places today, you know, when two people want to come into an agreement that wherein they are bound to each other by life and death, which is really what a marriage covenant is. Most Christians don't realize that. You know, marriage is a very serious business. It's not something you just enter into, like the Anglicans say, lightly, wantonly, without, you know, proper advice. Why? It's a blood covenant. You break it, the penalty for breaking it is death. I know most people don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. Now, a lot of people do it and seem to get away with it, but they don't. Because if you go and trace the history, you'll find out, you know. And then, of course, majority of people get married, they're not Christians. So they didn't get married as born-again Christians. So they don't really enter. They say the words, but they don't understand what they're saying. You know, so they're not really in a blood covenant. You know, but for the Christian, especially if you do it in scripture pasture, where you take the communion, you've just exchanged lives. The penalty is death. You don't want to go down that road. So what you want to do is work at it. You know, but I don't want to speak on marriage today. So Abraham takes, God takes some animals. Just cut a long story short. He kills the animals, divides them into two. That's why blood is shed. So the blood of the animals are mixed, and then each party partakes of the blood. Then Abraham went through the animals. You know, he falls into a deep sleep. Some birds come to try and he has to shoo them away, you know. But anyway, the point I want to make is that God now tells him, "I made a covenant with you." He had made a covenant with him before, you know, when he left all the country. He says, "Come, I will take you to a land and I'm going to give you that land." Then he reaffirms, we're going to see this about three or four times in the story of Abraham. He now reaffirms the same covenant. He didn't change it, but he reaffirms it by cutting an animal, by shedding blood. Then he goes further to give him some, which he didn't tell him before. He goes further to give him some prophetic information. He said that while you're here now, you're not going to inherit the land, but you're going to inherit it. Your descendants are going to inherit it. They're going to be taken into a land which we know now is Egypt, and they'll be there for 400 years. Then in the fourth generation, I'm going to bring them back to this land, and they will inherit it. And we know all that happened under Moses and then extended by Joshua and Caleb. But the important point to understand is that God ratified and then expanded the covenant. Well, what I mean by that he now gave Abraham more information about the covenant. When he called him Ur of the Chaldees, he didn't tell him about the 400 years. He didn't tell him about the sojourn in Egypt. But now, after cutting the blood covenant, after shedding blood, he goes a step further and he tells him, "This your descendants will be held in bondage." And the Bible says, I like that. I think we mentioned it last time. But I think, look at verse 8. Genesis chapter 15, verse 8. Let me go to verse 7. It says, "And he, God, said unto him, I am the Lord that brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees." That's in Iraq. So Abraham is originally Iraqi. Incidentally, that's a country we all need to continue to pray for, Iraq. For a simple reason that Abraham came from there. We pray for all nations anyway. He said, "Whereby shall I know it?" So he takes Heifer, it's a goat, 3 years old, and a she-goat, and then a ram, turtle dove. I don't want to go into all of that. The sun was going down, he fell into a kind of sleep. Then God speaks to him and says, "Know for a surety." Everybody say, "Know for a surety." I didn't hear you. See, when God speaks, know it for a short. It may not come in your lifetime, but it will come. See, most times when we think about promises of God, because we're so materialistic and so we always think of only for one generation. God's thinking miles ahead. He says, "Know for a surety that thy seed will be a stranger in a land that is not theirs." That's Egypt. "And they shall serve them 400 years, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve, I will judge." And he did. "And afterward, they will come out with great substance." And they did. "And they now shall go to thy fathers in peace." He said, "Abraham, you're not going to see that. You're going to die. You're going to, and you'll be buried in a good old age." I just got another word. It was saying, "No, for a surety. You will see. There's nothing that has happened in the old that we're not going to experience today." But don't let me get off on that. "And in the fourth generation," verse 16, "and in the fourth generation shall come hither again, for the iniquities of the Amorites is not yet full." God had promised a land to them, but the legal basis for giving them that land had not yet been fulfilled, because God was going to remove the Amalekites and the Jebusites and all of that because of their sin. They had already been sinning, but it hadn't yet reached full. So when it was full, the 400 years was complete. Then there was a legal basis to come and remove the people. God was not just, he's not a wicked God, just go killing everybody all over the whole place. These people were killing their own children. They were sacrificing the children to Moloch. They were doing all kinds of homosexuality, bestiality. That's why he wrote all those things for them in Deuteronomy and Leviticus and Numbers. Don't sleep with your father's wife. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't sleep with man, and man should not sleep together. Woman and woman should not have sex together. He said it's an abomination. He said a woman will not put herself down to let a dog or some other beast. He said it is confusion. And I remember when I was in my younger years, and when I was reading those, I used to say, nobody can do this kind of thing. Until recent times. That is why God removed those people from the land. The Bible says in the book of, I think one of the, in the Torah, either Numbers or Deuteronomy, somewhere in there, it says that the land will vomit you out. And that's what happened to the Amalekites, the Jebusites. But interestingly, sadly and tragically, Israel repeated the same thing. And God warned them. He said, if you do what those people did, I will remove you from the land the same way I removed them, to show you that he's no respecter of persons. And he did. So, this is where we are. Now, there's another important revelation here. I said the fourth generation. This is where we get the revelation that the generation is about 100 years. It's about 100 years. You know, normally people measure generation by genealogy. So if Olubi Johnson, if my father of blessed memory lived at 85, then I'm 65 now, you know. And my grandfather, my dad's dad, he lived until 96. Yeah. Papa Wakeman, he lived until 96. So if you're going to measure generation, you say, oh, a generation is 90 years. If it was, you're using my grandfather. If you're using my dad died at 85. That's 85 years, you know. But you don't do that. You know, you don't use genealogy, you use this revelation. That is why we know that we're in the terminal generation. Because the generation that sees the budding of the fig tree, which is the restoration of the nation of Israel, Jesus said, he said, that generation will not pass until everything, including the Great Tribulation, has been fulfilled. So if you start counting from 1948, you're looking at about, again, these are types and shadows, you know, they're not set in stone, about 2048, it could be 2050, it could be 2046, it could be 2047, and so on like that. So that's where we are now. And that's a very, very important revelation. We are in the last of the last days, and we're in the last generation of the last days. We don't have too much time to go. This is 2024. Add 30 years, you got 2054. And it won't be up to. It's probably going to be less. So, if you are still sleeping spiritually, if you are still playing church, wake up! We can remember 30 years ago like it was yesterday. 30 years ago was 1994. That was the year Josh Olubi, my son, was born. Still remember it like yesterday. Still remember it like yesterday. So many of us, not so many, but some of us here, you know, oh, you can still remember. So just project your mind and say, look at 30 years down the road, and even before then, Jesus would have come. What manner of persons ought we to be in all godliness and honesty and holiness, seeing that all these things will be dissolved? All these things you are running around for 30 years, then it's all gone. So, does it not make sense to dedicate your life to walking with God and serving God? The material things, they in 30 years' time, they'll all be gone. That car you are looking at, that house, it's all be gone. Incidentally, I'm saying this as a joke. It's not really a joke, but you know, with some humor. You know, on the day of rapture, they won't let you rapture your house. Though, remember Lot's wife. She was so attached to Sodom. The Bible says she looked back. Maybe she forgot the necklace. Or the earring. Or, not my fine shoe. That's why you should never let your heart be in material things. On rapture day, you're not taking anything. Not taking your car, you're not taking the house, you're not taking, you know, the nice clothes, you know, nothing. The only thing that's getting out of here is your spirit and your soul that goes up. Hallelujah. So somebody asks, then what happens, goes up to my house that I spent all my life investing and all of that? It will be left here for the tribulation. It's probably going to be consumed in fire. Earthquakes and pestilences that are going to bombard the earth for 7 years. So why attach yourself to them? Start living with your common sense. I don't know if it's common, but you know, start living with revelation sense. So many of us, sadly, you know, many of our pastors and teachers have emphasized only the material and physical aspect of the gospel. So majority of the Christians are earthly minded, who mind earthly things, whose God is their belly. Sadly, that's the truth in so many cases. This is teaching us that we must not do that. So after all of this, you know, God, now this is, we looked at this also last week, you mentioned it. Chapter 16 is one of the down chapters in, did I say down now, where Abraham, this is Abraham's big error, where he goes to Egypt and picks up Hagar, and Sarah is not patient, and sadly, Abraham did not correct her. And she made a good suggestion, which was not a God suggestion. And we're still living with it today. Asked Abraham to sleep with her maid and said maybe her son would be the one that God will use. Don't tell God how to do things. What are you doing? Don't go there. Didn't God know? And like I said last week, Abraham's biggest mistake was not asking God. If your wife or your husband tells you something, you know, especially if it is not in line with what God has said before, because God had already told him, then in his seed, all it would be like the stars of the heaven. God didn't say, you will need to do it through your house girl. Why didn't Abraham go to God and say, God, this is what Sarah said, but what do you say? Instantly, God would have told him, be patient. It will be done in a few years. Just stay where you are. But Abraham agreed with Sarah foolishly. Suggested, a commentator said, you know, Abraham too had his weakness. Maybe the girl was fine. So it's a good idea. Hello. The Bible says that all these people that we read about in the Bible, they would say, well, men of like passions. Abraham, yeah. Oh, mama, we're going. Otherwise, he would have said no. I said no. He too wanted to explore. And look at where the exploration I got us. I've said enough. Amen. So, God is displeased with Abraham. I will not use the word angry. I would use the word he was very displeased. And he didn't put the responsibility on Sarah. He put it on Abraham, the head of the house. There is no way that thing would have happened if Abraham didn't sleep with Sarah. It was with Hagar. If Abraham said no, what's Sarah going to do? She's going to fight him. She's going to hold his chest. Go ahead, sleep. She can't. But after some time, she'll see sense. She may just sulk for a few days. The Yoruba people have a saying, "One entoma woju ya olons to, entoma woju." There's a, you know, let me translate. You know, it means that it is the person that is looking at the wife's face that knows she's crying. If you are not looking at her face, you won't know she's crying. Take your eye away. Hello. So if you stand on the word of God and your wife is crying, just take your eye away. I didn't hear amen from any woman. No woman said amen. I'm going to say it now, and I want all the women to say amen. Entoba nwoju yawo lo mo ipo sunkun. Ah! I said it in Yoruba. I will say it again. Entoba nwoju yawo lo mo ipo sunkun. Amio. Emma woju e. In our language, that means don't look. Don't. What would Sarah have done? Should have just suffered for a few days. And would have saved us October 7th. And Hamas. Everything we're suffering is that's the root. Verse 15. Chapter 16, verse 15. I don't want to read all the rest of the story. And Hagar by Abraham a son. At this time it was still Abraham. And Abraham called his son's name, which Hagar bare him, Ishmael. Hey! And Abraham was Now watch this. 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. Chapter 17, verse 1. God does not talk to Abraham for 14 years. Because like I said, he wasn't angry, but he was displeased. And God knew the problem that they are putting his hand. Because Abraham is going to go to heaven. Ishmael is going to go to heaven. And all his sons. But the problem is going to be on the earth. And we're still seeing the problem today with Hamas. Create a mess and let God clear it for you. Then you go to heaven. Put a mess on the earth. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham. So he didn't appear to him all this time. And said unto him, watch this. I am Almighty God. This is where we get El Shaddai from. The Hebrew is El Shaddai. I am the Almighty God, El Shaddai. That's the original Hebrew. Watch this. Walk before me and be perfect. It means you're not being perfect. The Hebrew says upright. So those 14 years, Abraham was not upright, sleeping with one silly girl. Causing all kinds of problems. So, but you know, God is merciful. God was displeased, but he wasn't angry. Says, be upright. Walk before me. You've not been walking before, you've been walking crooked. And I will make my covenant between me and thee. He had already made the covenant, remember. Three times now. There was Genesis 12. There was Genesis 15. Now it's Genesis 17. He's saying the same thing again. But he's going to expand the covenant. I will make my covenant between me and thee. I didn't hear you. And I will multiply thee small. Exceedingly. He's factoring in Jesus now. Because see, in the physical, there was not going to be so many children. Isaac was going to have his own children. You know, in fact, Pastor Andrew, you know, by the time they went to Egypt, there was only 75 of them. They weren't big. They weren't many. So look, exceedingly. How much? 75 is not exceedingly. I'm 75 people. That's Jacob, his sons, all of them that went to Egypt with Joseph were just 75. So this exceedingly was not talking about Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. It's talking about Jesus. A clap offering for the Lord. I'm talking about you and I. And Abraham fell on his face. Eruba. I said that deliberately in our language. You know, it was a rebuke. God appears to him. So, walk before me and be upright. Stop misbehaving. Olubi Johnson paraphrase. Stop misbehaving. So the guy fell down. You know. And God talked with him. God is nice. Everybody give a lot of clap offering. God is very merciful. In spite of this, his mess that he had made. And he said, as for me. You know, God has, the way he talks. In other words, I'm going to do my own part. I hope you will do yours. As for me. And you know, God is saying the same to all of us today. As for me, I will watch over my word to perform it. Now, what will you do? But as for me, and Joshua picks that up. As for me and my house, we will serve God. What are you saying? God has said, as for me, but what are you saying? Are you saying, God, me too, as for me? As for Olubi, I'm going to watch over your word. I'm going to keep the covenant. That's a responsibility that each one of us needs to take up. Now, of course, the good news is that even the keeping of God will help you. Even the keeping of the covenant is not you. Like Paul said, I yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me. So even the fulfillment of the condition, God will give you the grace and mercy to fulfill it. That is why you are already more than a conqueror. If only you will keep an honest and a humble heart, get the grace and mercy of God, you will keep the conditions. The conditions are not difficult. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. Behold, my covenant is with thee. As for me, behold, I didn't hear you. Behold means look and see. I'm giving you fresh revelation. I've already given you this covenant before, but I'm now taking it deeper, one step, a notch higher. My covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations, not just Israel. Everything at the back of God's mind was Jesus. You're not just going to be a father of one. Israel is only one nation. God said, you will be a father of many nations. Israel, the United Kingdom, Nigeria, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan. That is why we see in the book of Revelation that God says he's going to have people from every tribe, tongue, and kindred. Why? Because Abraham was going to be father of many nations. There is no ethnic group that is not included in the Abrahamic covenant. A clap offering for the Lord. None. No exceptions. Paul, by revelation, he picks this. He said, for in Christ, there is no male or female, no Jew nor Greek. There's no exception. There's nobody who is excluded. So to factor in every nation, he puts it there in the covenant. Thou shalt be a father of none. You know, the Israel says, oh, he's the God of Abraham. He's the God of everybody. Yes, he's the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But through Jesus, all of us enter that covenant. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. All this was factored in from Genesis. Shall I correct that? Before Genesis, even before he made Adam, Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world to include all of the stock of Adam. Whether it be Shem, whether it be Ham, or whether it be Japheth. All of us are included in the covenant. You know, that's why it's good to study the Bible. So you begin to see the root of your redemption. So nobody can come and bamboozle you tomorrow and say, oh no, you're just Gentiles, you know, you're just blacks, you know, you're... No! My name is there. All nations. Nigeria, Bacheleto, we are there. You know, as wonderful as Nigerians are, you know, like my daddy told me a joke when he was still alive. You know, and I remember I just started laughing. My dad and one of his friends, Professor Kofi Duncan, Professor Kofi Duncan is still alive. You know, I remember that we used to play chess together. So one of the days, you know, I went to go and see my dad and we were all cracking jokes and everything. So my dad says this joke. He said that everybody says Nigeria is, God is partial to Nigeria. Look at, we have oil. Every mineral is in Nigeria. Our agriculture, just throw something on the ground, it will grow. So the people, when God was making it, it was a joke. When God was making Nigeria, and you are too partial. You've given these people too many things. You know, Nigeria has everything other people don't have. Oh, God, you know. God said, wait until you see the people I'll put there. You haven't seen anything yet. You just seen all the natural. Wait until you see the kind of people I'll put there. Then you know I'm not partial. We're a unique breed. Niger. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Abraham. Even Niger is in the covenant.
Bacheleto, as wonderful as we are, don't let me see as terrible.
Thou shalt be a father of many nations. God has plugged in the covenant of Jesus Christ in there with implicitly, without saying it explicitly. It took many hundreds of years later on for Paul, by revelation, to pick it and see that God was, he said, God preached the gospel through to Abraham, saying, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So, you know, I'm glad we're teaching this and explaining it, and I pray that some of our Arab and Muslim brothers, and I call them brothers, in the sense that we all came from the same father of Abraham, you know, are listening to this. God is not partial. Yes, God has done something special through Israel, but he did not exclude anybody. All of us have an inheritance in Abraham. He is the father of many nations. The Nigerian nation, the Saudi Arabia nation, the Jordan nation, the Palestinian nation. Loves everybody. But don't say you want to kill Israel. That's where you will run into trouble. Because he has already made a covenant with those ones and said, if anybody who curses you, I will curse them. So why put a curse on your head when you can get a blessing? Selah. And Abraham, you know, and thou shalt, neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. This is when he changes his name from father of multitude to father of many nations. For a father of, again he repeats it, of many nations have I made thee. At this time he has no child. Talk about somebody who calls the things which are not as though they are. He was talking to Abraham. At the time he was talking to Abraham, there was no child. Apart from Ishmael, which was not, we was not going to be reckoned with as far as the inheritance is concerned. And God was talking as if he already had the children. As for me, this is my covenant, and I have already made you a father of many nations, as at which time there was nothing. Trust God. That's what we call faith. It's trust in the three things. One, and most importantly, the character of God and his integrity. He's not a liar. Two, trust in his wisdom. If God says something and it looks impossible, he already has worked out a way of doing it. Three, trust in his power. There is nothing impossible with God. So he's talking to a 99-year-old woman whose wife is 90 years old. At which time it was no longer possible for her to have children. Menopause, we now know from medical science, had already taken place. There's no way in the natural. I got a word. Those of you who are believing God for the fruit of the womb, maybe you're not have, you haven't had your natural children yet. And the wife is looking at the husband is looking at the wife. But John Law, in our language, that means time is going. What are we going to do? You know, some silly Christians do foolish things. People be telling them, are you going to sit for that? You know, you better go and see one baba somewhere. There's one time, some years ago, remember Pastor Bega, where they say, come and take popo. And if you take the seed of the popo, it will cause you to have children. Don't go there. It is better to die barren, faithful to God, than to have children on compromise. I'm going to repeat it.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We believe these words have empowered you to live a victorious, transcendent life in Christ. Our mission is to equip God's people for service and build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We encourage you to enjoy and share from thousands of resources, including books, sermons, prophecies, and articles available on our website, sbcconline.org. Thank you, and God bless you.